Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our sixth study in the book of Matthew. And we come today to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Public prayer isn't wrong. The early church met for public prayer. The issue in prayer isn't where we pray, but why we pray. If your motive is to talk to God, then God will hear, and He will answer. Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Some people repeat memorized prayers, and they don't even think about what they're saying. But, you know, words mean nothing to God if they don't come from the heart. On the other hand, the words we use are really secondary. If we have a heart for God when we pray, that's the important thing. It's all about what's inside of us when it comes to prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying the same thing over and over. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just when you pray it in a mindless way, thinking that, you know, God is keeping track of how many times you say it. That's unbiblical. Verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." Prayer doesn't inform God about anything because He already knows everything. We pray because it's how we acknowledge our needs and our dependence on God. We pray because it's how we communicate with God, and that by itself is a good thing. And we pray because God will answer prayers and do things that He otherwise wouldn't do. Verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven." When you pray, pray with the attitude that God is your Father. In other words, when you pray, it's good to remember that He is your Father, but also that He is your Father in heaven. He is your Father, but He is also the sovereign ruler of the universe and everything in it. Those two things will start your prayers off in the right way. You remember those two things. So pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Somewhere in the beginning of your prayers, there should be worship. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come." After worship, pray for the things that you know God wants. And at the top of that list is for His kingdom to come. In other words, pray for the setting up of Jesus' earthly kingdom. And pray for the salvation of lost souls. Pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, when you pray, be humble about it. Admit to God that He knows what's best, and therefore surrender your will to His will. Pray for what you think is best, but always ask God to do what He knows is best. Pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then in verse 11 it says, "Pray, give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. After we've honored God and prayed for His will to be done, God, by His grace, has granted us permission to ask for whatever it is that we would like. And He doesn't promise to give us everything, but He does tell us to ask. 12. Then pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors." Now, this isn't talking about forgiveness from the penalty of your sins. That complete and judicial forgiveness takes place the moment you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. This is talking about a Christian's need to ask for forgiveness in order to maintain fellowship with Christ here on earth. And then notice the last part of verse 12 again. As we have forgiven our debtors. In other words, good times with God in His Word and in prayer. In order to enjoy those things, we must not only ask for forgiveness ourselves, we must forgive others. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation. James 1:13 says that God never tempts anyone with evil, but God does allow trials which test our obedience to Him and the reality of our faith in Him. And what this part of the Lord's Prayer teaches is that we must not rely on our own strength, but we must pray to God and look to God for strength to stand firm when we are tested. Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In other words, pray, Lord, keep me from sinning today. Demons are everywhere, and so are temptations to sin. We can't possibly overcome them in our own strength. Every single day we need to ask God to keep us strong. 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And God once again says, if you want to be forgiven, so that you can experience the joy of your salvation with me, then you must be willing to forgive others who sin against you. And some of the most unhappy Christians I know are Christians who hold a grudge. The least little thing ticks them off, and they storm off and they get bitter and you never see them. 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Nothing wrong with telling someone that you're fasting. Just don't mess up your hair and walk around dragging your feet with sad eyes so that people, will think you're some kind of a martyr. Verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Fast, but do your best not to appear as if you are fasting, is what Jesus is saying. 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. There is no security in material things at all. I mean, any treasure on earth is a sitting duck to be destroyed by nature, or stolen by thieves, or lost through the stock market, or lost through inflation, or whatever. The only investment that you will never lose are your treasures in heaven. 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus doesn't want us to invest ourselves in earthly things, because then those earthly things will have our attention. He wants us to invest ourselves in spiritual things, things that will advance the kingdom of heaven. I mean, if you want to think about heaven more, and you want eternity to be more of a reality to you today, then invest yourself, invest your wealth in eternal things. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. In other words, just like a lamp gives light to a room, your eyes light your body and causes your body to see what is around it. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, if your eyes are working well, you can see clearly. 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eyes aren't working well, your vision suffers. If you're blind, you dwell in darkness. Last part of verse 23. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's not good to be blind. it's worse to be blind and live in denial? I mean, if you're blind and you refuse to admit it, so you hop in your truck and go for a ride, you're going to do some major damage. And there's one thing worse than being spiritually blind. There's one thing worse than being spiritually blind and therefore ignorant of the eternal truths of God's Word. There's one thing worse than that. And that's to be spiritually blind, say you aren't, and then talk with authority about eternal truths, not knowing what you're talking about. A person who does that sort of thing will do eternal damage to anyone who follows what he says. That's a dangerous person. 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You and I are like slaves who get to choose a master. And there are two to choose from, and we must choose one. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve God and wealth. You must choose. What's going to be number one? 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? In other words, don't devote your greatest energy into having and consuming temporary things. If you live that way, you will realize one of these days that your life has passed and you've missed the real purpose for God having you here. God didn't put you on this earth primarily so that you would eat food and decorate your body. He put you here to worship and serve Him and to advance His kingdom. 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? As the birds go about doing what God wants them to do, God makes sure that all their needs are met. As we go about doing what God wants us to do, He will make sure that our needs are met as well. They don't worry. We shouldn't worry either. 27. And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? God doesn't want us to worry about having our needs met. Number one, worry dishonors God because it implies that He doesn't care enough about you, His child, to meet all your needs. Not only that, it doesn't do any good. 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? If God cares about flowers enough to make them look so beautiful, then He sure won't let you go through life without anything to wear. And I don't think many people worry about not having anything to wear. They worry about not having the expensive clothes or the latest fashions. And you know what? That becomes a problem of vanity or wrong priorities. And people like that need to adjust their priorities, and then they won't worry. 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? If you really believe that you are responsible for your needs being met and your future security, well, then you can never be anything but anxious. I mean, you never know when enough is enough, and even if you thought you had enough, you still have to worry about a crippling accident or a terrible disease or a market plunge or inflation. It's a lost cause, so you better trust Christ. Trust that He will take care of you because He promises that He will if you're His child. 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The people who don't have a relationship with God through Christ rely on themselves. God is their God, but He isn't their Father. And God hasn't promised to meet their needs, but it's different for us Christians. He has promised to take care of us. 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here's a promise from God. If you put His interest first, He will make sure that you have all the physical, the material things you need for as long as He wants you to live. 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, be content knowing that your current needs are being met by God. And you know what? If you continue to put God first, then when tomorrow comes, He'll make sure that tomorrow's needs are met when they arrive. And we will stop right there for today. Until next time, so long, everyone.